again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 263 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, back on the air with a stable internet connection, sort of. I'm joined by the always stable Kenny.
It's good to be back. My internet connection may not always be stable, but thank you for calling me stable. So
we are back on the air this week to talk about, well, the new games that are out, because it has been a while since we did the podcast. Of course, missed last week because of my internet problems, so that one's on me, unfortunately. The previous episode, of course, was an interview with Josh and Dave from Nemo Gamo, talking about basketball classics and a few other classic basketball memories as well, Kenny. It was definitely good to have the guys on, finally, and talk to them about their game and reminisce about the good old days of basketball.
Yeah, it was an interesting one to listen to as well. I didn't get to listen to all of it because listening to podcasts at work isn't always the easiest thing to do, but no. I probably shouldn't admit that, but oh well. It was good to hear some insight about a really cool game that's out on Steam now.
Absolutely, and we'll also have more impressions and coverage of that moving forward. But this week we are focusing on a couple of AAA titles, NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19. They came out a couple of weeks ago now. It's overdue to talk about them. You and I, Kenny, we have both games this year. We double dipped. We went hard on the virtual hardwood.
We did indeed. I have also, I wouldn't say I've evenly split the games, but I've split them as evenly as possible, or at least, I've tried to play both games, both significantly. My gaming schedule has pretty much been all basketball video games the last couple of weeks. So, I've got a lot of impressions to share and some kind of fun experiences as well.
Absolutely, and we'll get to that in just a sec. But you brought up an interesting fact there, because when you do buy both games, as we did this year, and I do most years, and a lot of people do, you kind of have to really ration your time and schedule it to a certain extent, I suppose, find the mode you like in both games, and alternate just to a certain extent. Otherwise, one of them sits on the shelf collecting dust, or on the hard drive, as the case may be.
Yeah, I think for me, the best kind of strategy for doing that is to kind of to split the games. You kind of play different game modes on the different games. So for me, what I've done is I've played the 5-on-5 on pretty much 2K19 and the player lock mode on Live 19. So I've been able to flight them out in that way.
That's a good approach. Yeah. I suppose I'll probably be mostly playing Ultimate Team and a little bit of the one in NBA Live 19, and probably going to leave my team alone for reasons which we'll probably get into when we get to the NBA 2K19 impressions. But a bit of my career too depends what we do with Pro-Am this year, of course, and mm-hmm. And of course I franchise isn't quite there yet, which again we'll get to that shortly as well. So it's really got to be my league for the franchise experience, and what a year to get back into my league, really, because it's really deep this year, like even deeper than before.
Yeah, my league is fantastic, and I think it's something that a lot of reviewers have kind of overlooked, how strong my league actually is. And I think mostly because a lot of them are kind of focusing on microtransactions, which, don't get me wrong, that's a big issue, but I think kind of just overlooking how amazing my league is this year, it's not telling the full story.
No, it's tremendous. It's amazing that they're still finding ways to add new content to that mode, new features. It's been hard to actually think of wishlist items for that mode, because you're thinking, well, it's already got pretty much everything, but they found a way. So, and I know you've been playing it, and I'm really looking forward to deep diving into it as well. So it's good that we have the franchise mode in that one, and hopefully Live can catch up as well.
Yeah, and they definitely need to, because as far as I'm concerned, Live still isn't quite deep enough to keep me interested for the entire year, if like history is anything to go by, because that was my big problem with NBA Live 18, is that I kind of stopped playing about 3 months before NBA Live 19 was released. So I think that's kind of an issue that they need to address at some point.
Well, on that note, let's get right into our NBA Live 19 impressions and talk a little bit more about that, of course, and the gameplay as well. this game has been pretty well received by a lot of people in the community. Obviously, Live has that reputation that people still, there are still people out there bashing it and calling it trash, and saying it's so far behind and it's not worth playing. I would say respectfully disagree with those people, but I don't respect that opinion at all, so that wouldn't be accurate. But it is, not to say that there isn't room for improvement in both gameplay and modes, but my initial impressions of Live 19 are very positive. I felt that way after the demo, and it really has taken that next step after Live 18 and addressed some of the issues with Live 18 as well. So I'm, you know, to top off my opinions of Live 19, it is a quite a solid game this year and well deserving of the praise so far.
I think so too. And as far as the gameplay is concerned, I think that NBA Live is drawing closer to 2K as far as the gameplay is concerned, like, because I think gameplay back in like 16, NBA 2K kind of really had NBA Live's number. Yeah. And more, actually, I can't really comment on 18. What do you think? Would you say that there was like much of a gap between NBA Live 18 and NBA 2K18?
Probably in some respects, in that 18 still had the really funky animations that you'd get stuck in the post. Post play just wasn't, you know, it felt really not very good at all in 18. It's tough to say, because 2K18 felt like such an odd step in the wrong direction for 2K, for a series that has really gone from strength to strength across the board. And done such a great job of being this sim title, 2K18 was just really went off track. I think from a technical standpoint, with the responsiveness of the controls and some of the animations, and also even just some of the NBA strategy, probably 2K18 was better by default as a sim in the depth of the gameplay. But
yeah,
but Live 18 was more fun. Like, I continued playing Live 18 up until probably around about the time the Live 19 demo came out. But 2K18, as I think I've said in a couple of articles, I stopped playing that months ago, which, again, I played 2K17 up to 2K18 and 2K16 up to 2K17. But 2K18, I just didn't want to play it. The only time I fired it up was to get screenshots or video for features for the NLSC. I wasn't actually playing for my own enjoyment. I was just kind of going into games, getting the screenshot, and then that was it. So while it was probably technically better in many respects, with, again, animations and even some of the player movement, AI, things like that, Live 18 just felt more fun. Whether I just needed to break from the 2K style, or whether 2K18 had too many problems that felt too different to 2K17, which I really enjoyed. But yeah, it is catching up, I think, as you said, and it's, as 2K is struggling with this new motion system a little bit, the door is left open. I mean, there's been plenty of chances for the door to be slammed shut on Live, but it's persevered, and I'd still like to see it have a bit more strategy in it and a bit more realism, although it is there, obviously, and just a little bit more polish. But it really feels like it's on the right track. Like, it's, again, feels like a lot of fun, and some of the tuning they've done post release has with user feedback and things that obviously couldn't be done before the game went gold, it has continued to improve somewhat.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to note that you had the same experience with 2K18 that I had with Live 18, and that you kind of stopped playing pretty far out from the launch of the next game. But yeah, I think NBA Live 18 was very fun to play. 5-on-5, particularly the WNBA mode, I really enjoyed that. And I guess that's something that, if I had to say something I was kind of disappointed with as far as like NBA Live 19 is concerned, it would be that I kind of wish they expanded the WA content a bit more, and maybe like into a single season mode. I thought, I remember thinking, if they had a single season mode for WNBA, that would almost be enough to for me to buy NBA Live 19 exclusively, because that would be like the new experience for me. But since there wasn't even like any suggestion of that, I kind of thought, well, I'm probably going to get a deeper experience out of 2K19, and that's really why I double dipped.
And again, I mean, I suppose I double dip for as a content creator, and you being a content creator for us as well. I'm guessing that probably factored into your decision at some point, as well as, you know, our own enjoyment. But that is the reality of the situation, is that if you kind of have to balance out the experience with both games, because live isn't as deep. They did say that it's in the works. It's another one of those maybe next year things as far as the WNBA season mode or even a career mode. And I think that would be huge for the game. I think, and I mentioned it in my Friday Five when I talked about the top five positives and negatives about live, and I did 2K this week as well. But my number one negative is franchise mode just lacks depth. And franchise mode needs it. We also need a season mode for WNBA. Even if it's just a single season, that would be huge. Or a career mode would be even better, with career modes being as popular as they are. Things like having legends outside of Ultimate Team, even if they're just in. And I know that 2K, Live doesn't want to do that, I'm guessing, because 2K has done just a tremendous job of the historical content. It's hard to really compete with them on that front, especially when they've got exclusive deals with Michael Jordan and whatnot. But even having those old 90s, you know, the old decade All-Stars and a Legends pool and things like that, just having some kind of extra content, like when they used to have the Legends or the FIBA teams, or, you know, WNBA is nice, but there's just, Live is still not deep enough. The gameplay experience is coming along, and it feels fun. I like the gameplay experience this year, but this is where it comes into Moe's, because we've said this many times before on the show and in articles, what keeps you hooked? And that's what 2K has a huge advantage at the moment, because it does have these deep modes like My League, like My Career. Ultimate Team is kind of there, but even My Team has more content. So yeah, it Live really needs to do that, and it's another situation where you can't keep saying next year, or this is, we're only focusing on the one, because I mean, for me, I'm kind of burned out on career modes as it is from all the years of playing My Career, and I'm ready to go back to franchise. So I guess it's a bad time for me, but trying to get this new demographic, the reason that 2K is, you know, they keep talking about the new demographic, but the demographic they want is the one that is playing 2K. You know, they mm-hmm. need the biggest share of that pie. And the reason that people love 2K is there's all these different experiences that you can, well, experience. All these deep modes. If you're not going head-to-head to that to some extent, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, the game is kind of fun, but I get bored after a couple of months because there's nothing to keep me hooked. And I think that, as you say, that's going to be the big thing where the Live can really retain our interest throughout the year.
Yeah, it's going to be something that I'm going to monitor, particularly because, just based off of what happened in NBA Live 18. I think as far as franchise is concerned, I see a good foundation there. Like I went into it, I think maybe about a week or so ago, and I saw that, okay, they do have 17-man rosters now, and they do have, like, different contract clauses and that kind of stuff, which is all a really good start. And they also, I think, have, like, a player progression system where, I think it's goal-based. So if a player has, like, a player can have, like, a goal, say, like, score 5 points in this game, and they can, like, earn some type of point, or something like that, in order to progress their ratings along.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what they've done with the one. I think they've borrowed some of the concepts, which is not a bad idea. Again,
yeah,
from simply back in the day, just training a player and hoping that they would get some improvement, and sometimes they didn't. Of course, playing the drills in the academy back in Live 09 and Live 10 was fantastic. You know, I'd certainly be all in favor of bringing that back. So it is nice that they have added that, and like you say, it's that foundation, but. You know, then there's things like not being able to edit jersey numbers, not being able to control multiple teams, not having some of the tuning options of My League. And of course, My League's, it's going to be, there was no way they were going to catch up with that in a year. So
no.
that was we couldn't expect that. We couldn't reasonably expect that. But just, it doesn't quite have the depth of even Association or even last generation's Dynasty mode. So I think that's what disappoints me, is that it's not just behind 2K, it's behind what we had on the previous generation. And I know a lot of people have moved on from franchise, and it's all about career and such, but you know, the NBA side of things is important. So that's why franchises be. That's why the league part of the one has to be deep as well, and has to compete with my career in some respects on that. Although we don't need a virtual neighborhood. That one game with that is enough. we will get to that, I'm sure. But I mean, that is the main concern, I think, with live is the modes. Ultimate Team is pretty deep this year. I like that they've done away with contracts. Ultimate Team, that's a big move, because it kind of feels like an outdated thing, just something else to grind and get and have to manage. It really was. I didn't realize until they got rid of it how much I enjoy, you know, not having to apply contracts to players when they run out. It's just you've got the once you've got the players in your team, in your collection, you can just use them and play them, and you think, well, this is actually more fun. This is the way it should be.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. One thing I didn't necessarily like when I opened up Live Ultimate Team was that the player cards seem to be really, well, to be blunt, crap this year. Like, at least the ones to start off with, anyway.
They've got
some really bizarre ratings.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing it's so that you can really set it aside and get some of the decent names early on, but just like crappy versions of them or nerfed versions of them, if you will, and then get the better cards later. But it does seem really weird to have like a rookie Shaq 75 overall, or a rookie a young Hakeem 75 overall, or a decent role player at 60 overall. It does seem very underpowered, those cards. And I see where they're going with it, but yeah, I don't think it's much better than getting 99 overall Luis Scola in my team, basically. It's kind of it's the opposite problem, but basically.
Yeah. Because I just thought that was like a step in the wrong direction, because one of the things I really liked about Live Ultimate Team was that the really good cards weren't unattainable early on in Live 18. And I thought that was positive that it had over my team. And the fact that you do get really low rated cards to start off with in Live 19, it kind of felt like, well, this kind of feels like 2K now. So, yeah.
And funnily enough, 2K has kind of gone the other direction with my team, and my starter packs are actually pretty decent this year, amazingly. So it's weird that they've kind of flipped in that respect. I also think Ultimate Team needs something like my team's got as far as domination or the schedule challenges, just something to really... I know you can play any team at any time, but it doesn't really do anything for you. There's no rewards to earn with that. It's all through the fantasy challenges. So I think there needs to be... And again, it's much like franchise. It's just coming down to adding that extra depth. Although at least we don't have to unlock the auction house. At least that's available right at the start.
Yeah, that's definitely a positive. I guess I need to do a bit more of a deep dive on Live Ultimate Team, because I've really only played, I think, maybe that very first challenge. I can't even remember it. I think it was like a fourth quarter or something, and you had to either protect a lead or you had to get the lead or something like that. But yeah, the thing that stood out to me was that I had both JaVale McGee and Wilson Chandler from back when they were with the Nuggets, and they were both rated 60 overall, and I was like, you know,
yeah.
I didn't think JaVale McGee was our best player, but I would have rated him at least a 70 while he was with the Nuggets.
It is a problematic system. But, you know, to that point, I do like that they've added so many challenges out of the box, so to speak. That was great that they did that, and that it was, as you say, easy to obtain some of the better cards, or relatively speaking, kind of in the 70 to 75 range for that kind of thing. And I also like that they have done these shorter challenges where you just play... a quarter or something, because who wants to play a full game on rookie difficulty? It's where you're just blowing out the computer. It's just not fun.
And I think now that the contracts aren't in the way, you don't have to necessarily worry about, you know, burning a contract for playing one quarter of the game. So
that's probably why they've removed him as well. It just makes more sense to have those shorter challenges, like you say. I mean, that is a problem with my team, is that, you know, you burn that contract, the one quarter challenges. So, I do like that approach. Getting back to franchise, I just want to see it on the road to at least what Association was in 2K, or even what Dynasty was last generation. I'd like to see it go back to the day-by-day calendar. I just don't feel that that's simming the week when it's done. It just feels really weird to me. It feels like a Madden thing, I guess, and doesn't really feel like it's out of play. If with a multiple games during the week, it just feels kind of weird to me.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of screen kind of taken up by just your player kind of standing around, and I feel like they could use that space kind of more for a monthly calendar.
But apart from that, the basis is there, as you said. So it feels like if they put some more effort into it next year, and with expanding the team with the EA Madrid studio working on Live as well next year, as well as the EA Tiburon studio, I mean, we could start seeing the depth in those modes, and hopefully so, because it's... And also roster sharing. I was a bit disappointed that we can't share rosters. I am happy to see the 17-man roster. I'm glad you noticed that. I'm not surprised that you did, because you and I, we were looking out for that last year as well. But
yep.
They don't have two-way players, do they? They've just got room for them on the roster.
Like, yeah, just room, which I think that's enough. Like, you sufficient. Can kind of imagine those extra two players being in the D League or something, and if you get enough injuries, you can kind of just call them up, or you know, make that part up. You don't necessarily have to be told, you know, this is what you're doing in order to kind of, you know, do it, I suppose, or to like imagine that you do it. So
I mean, it is good that 2K does have the two-way contracts system in the game, but as you say, yeah, it's better than being stuck with the old 15-man roster. You know, we needed, at the very least, needed to get to the 17-man roster. But with the roster editing that is in the game by default this year, the one that was added by the patch last year, unfortunately no roster sharing, which kind of defeats the purpose from a community standpoint. And also, the trade option is missing in the default rosters. You can only assign players, which makes moving around a bit slow.
Oh, I haven't actually gone into it myself, but yeah, that's kind of strange that there is no trade option.
It is a bit of an oversight. I'm gonna bring that up, and hopefully it can be patched back in, because it makes moving players around a lot easier when you can at least trade a few of them for each other at a time, instead of just assigning them one by one to a new team. And also, of course, if a team is already full, you got to finagle that around with a free agent pool. Possible, it's just cumbersome. So there are some issues. Again, it comes down to functionality and depth. I'd love to see the legends outside of it. Gameplay, I guess, being paramount. It is fun this year, and it's better, and you can see the real player motion. You know, we've talked about it with the demo and everything, but it is easily the best looking and best feeling game, I think, of this generation for Live. And some might snarkily say, well, that's a low bar, and you know, fair enough, Live has struggled with its comeback, but it is a very pleasing progression with all that, the feel of the game on the sticks and the way the game looks. And there's even that strategy, you know, LeBron plays like LeBron. He's very, you know, trying to deal with LeBron. Actually feels like trying to deal with him. It's not like the old days where it's all point guard domination. And my classic example, of course, is Chris Juhon, Mr. 40-15, back in the NBA Live 10 days with point guard domination. So, yeah, I am quite happy with the gameplay so far. It's there is still room for improvement, but it's, again, it is fun to play, and it's, there is a good amount of realism in there. It is not that arcadey. It's a bit harder to dunk this year. So, I am quite pleased with the direction that Live is going as far as the NBA stuff is going, and the gameplay. Of course, it is fun in the one as well. I would like to see a bit more focus on the NBA gameplay, though.
What you said about dunking, it is a lot harder to dunk, but it isn't that hard to get dunked on, as I learned in the one. I shared a video with you earlier. It was kind of a welcome to the NBA moment where I guess I got caught in the middle of nowhere and got knocked over by Donovan Mitchell doing a dunk. And yeah, it was an N1 moment. Kind of made me hate Donovan Mitchell, but, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say I hate him in real life, but the whole rivalry with Ben Simmons kind of makes me side with Ben Simmons. But, it was just like an interesting little moment for me, I suppose.
And it's fun to have that. I know you did an article a long time back, quite a while back, about the players that you came to like and dislike thanks to playing games. And you kind of have that, and it's to have that rivalry on the virtual hardwood where it just makes the games more interesting and has this reality. You have this reality, and of course, you and I have done the stories for our franchise games and whatnot many years back and for many years at a time. to have that experience and get really be engaged. You know, it's just the reason we play video games, to have fun like that. It's the reason I play Fallout, to get caught up in the story and to, you know, have the control over your destiny in an RPG. A little bit different, of course, genres with basketball games, but still to actually have that fun and have that rivalry. And it was, you know, it was a great dunk as well. Like, that was a really nice animation. I haven't seen that one myself, that dunking animation. I think it might be new, because that looked really good.
Yeah, you know, I even mentioned before, like, yeah, I mean, if it happened to me in real life, I would have been like, yeah, confiscate the tape, you know, the famous thing that LeBron James did. But whereas, like, since it happened in NBA Live 19, I was just like, you know, this is a really cool moment, and I can actually see it happening to one of the rookies in this rookie class. Like, I can see one of them actually getting dunked on by Donovan Mitchell like that, and having like a, you know, welcome to the league kind of moment. So it was a nice little touch for, you know, I guess, yeah, it was just a nice little thing to happen that added like a little subplot to my one experience.
Which is cool, you know, I haven't actually played any NBA games yet. I got the number one overall pick. I was the number one overall pick to Phoenix. I'm still deciding whether I'll try and force my way to Chicago just to play with them. Replace Chris Dunn as the point guard there. And I haven't got into court battles yet. I haven't really got into that side of things. Well, here's the thing. For the last week or so, my internet has been garbage. So I haven't been playing Live 19 as much as I like, because a lot of the content that I want to play is online. So, and that again comes back to not having a strong offline mode. Is if you do have problems with the internet or the server, you're kind of stuck, because I didn't want to start anything because I didn't know if the internet was going to last 5 minutes or 50 minutes or 5 hours, the way it has been dropping out on me. So I didn't really want to start any online gaming. So yeah, that was kind of tough. But I do like the NBA Live OG collection. Have you opened those packages? To get the one jersey.
OG. I think I did. The thing with Live 19 is that it kind of, I don't know, it kind of like barraged me with, I suppose, for the lack of a better term, loot crates. And I never really know what they're for. So yeah, I probably have received them. I've kind of played a lot of the World Tour, actually. I've gone through, I think the first, they have like different groups of courts. So yep. I've gone through the first group. In the second group, I've completed the Chicago and the Rio de Janeiro courts as well. So I've managed to unlock quite a few players for my squad, I suppose. The best being Anthony Davis. He was the latest one I've recruited to my team. So I've got Anthony Davis, I had Paul George, had this really awesome play with Paul George earlier where I stole a ball from James Harden and I passed the ball from the ground to him doing the game-winning dunk. So that was like a really cool moment.
Yeah, that was awesome. So share that with us,
I really like, because I think, I don't know whether we've ever talked about this, but I really like the idea of like recruiting professional players to your squad. I feel like we've talked about this at some point, like having a pro-am that's kind of like that, has a similar system to that. That was something that you did back in what was it, one of the NBA Street games. It was the one with Melo on the cover.
Street Home Court. Yeah, you basically, as you played through the circuit of everyone's home court, you would actually recruit players, and you had to keep them happy, because otherwise if you're getting enough shots, that actually leave your squad. I lost Eddie Curry and was laughed very hard as he was as it popped up with the dialogue box. Eddie Curry is upset and he's leaving your squad, and he's just sort of standing there looking very forlorn with his arms crossed and everything. And just, well, see you, Eddie. But
I had a moment with Antoine Walker where he was upset that Josh Childress was getting too many shots. So that kind of dates the game, I think.
Yeah.
It's like they're both being prominent NBA players, but the current squad I'm running with at the moment in the World Tour, it has Anthony Davis, and three other players from the WNBA. So I've got Dirika Hamby at power forward, Maya Moore at small forward, and Elena Deladon at shooting guard. Mm. And I hope I pronounced all those names correctly. I'm pretty sure I did.
You need to get Liz Cambridge. We know how to pronounce that. So.
Yeah, well, I would also like to see NBA Live 19 get her face right as well, because that was one of the first things I did in the WNBA mode. I was like, I want to see if they've got Liz's face in the game. Unfortunately, they don't. So.
Is it worse than Brock Modem in 2K17? Or
no, nothing is worse than Brock Modem in 2K17. That was awful.
Wasn't there two different faces in 2K17 as well for him? Or
I think that? one had brown hair, one had blonde hair.
That's right, yeah.
The one with blonde hair is more accurate, but Brock Modem did not look like that.
the problem with the face scan, you see, he couldn't get the app to work either. But speaking of face scans, my face scan came out really well. I posted it on Twitter I think that's actually the best face scan I did. When I first did it, I thought, oh, that's okay. You know, it came out all right. But for a start, it's actually got my eye color this year. I followed Q Eric's instructions and looked directly at the camera rather than the screen, and actually gave me the gave me the blue eyes. And yeah, I was really impressed with that scan. It's the easily the best one I've had in a game. It was uncanny, you know, uncanny valley even basically. So.
Yeah, it was a very good scan. I was kind of disappointed because I wasn't able to get it past like the rendering stage.
Mm.
But I suppose it's something I could try again. I don't mind the fact that my player kind of looks like Darren Williams. And it's kind of like a bit of a throwback for me, so maybe I'll just keep the face I've got.
I mean, I played NBA 2K19 The Prelude with my bootleg M&Ms, so... So we'll, of course, have more impressions of Live 19 as the season goes on, as the year goes on, obviously, and we continue to play it. As we look to move on, any final thoughts on Live 19 for the moment? Anything else that that jumps out to you?
No, not really. I guess my first game in the league was pretty cool. Like, I had like a real zero to hero kind of game because I had 8 turnovers within like the first 3 quarters or so. Like, I was having a bit of a shocker, and then there was that part where I got dunked on by Donovan Mitchell. And it was just like, yeah, I was having a pretty terrible first game at that point. But in the fourth quarter, ended up hitting 4 3-pointers, pretty important ones. I was drafted by the Sacramento Kings.
What's your style again?
So I went with the floor general point guard.
Same.
So yeah, I've gone with that and. So I got drafted by the Sacramento Kings. I was drafted number 2 overall. And we managed to outscore the Jazz 42-26 in the fourth. Ooh. To win by 120-112.
Nice.
And overall, I ended up with 27 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and 8 turnovers.
Oh, well, that's not a single turnover in the second half, is it?
Yeah, I was just shooting it, so, you know, that's a good way to not get a turnover, is to just shoot the ball instead of passing it. So.
Can't turn it over if it's going towards the hoop, so.
Yep, exactly.
I'll have to make my debut with the Suns and see how it goes, or possibly the Bulls if I pull a Steve Francis and demand a trade before the season. Maybe.
Or even a Kobe, because that's what Kobe did as well.
It's that revisionist history, remember? The Nets passed on him.
That's right. Was it the Nets? Anyway.
Several teams did, but the Nets most prominently. They did get Kerry Kittles.
Yeah, well, I'm good for the Nets then.
It could be worse. The Warriors got Todd Fuller. So.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah, the 96 draft is a pretty good one, but there's also some picks that were not so good. So before we move on to NBA 2K19, the other thing to note is that, as I said, a lot of people are enjoying Live 19. Obviously, we are as well, and we will continue to cover it as the year progresses. But IGN gave it a 7.9 out of 10, which is their highest score for Live in quite some time. And while I did note the lack of depth in the modes and a lot of the criticisms that we have, it was a very positive review for a site that has kind of gone out of its way to I mean, some of the scores have been not unfair, but I feel some of the IGN reviews over the years have gone out of their way to really be snarky and to bash the game for its shortcomings, which rather than really have an informative review, just flat out bash the game. I was quite pleased to see, you know, such a prominent publication give them a pretty fair shake and a 7.9. You know, EA's got to be very happy with that because it does suggest the game is back on track. I think if it does have that depth next year and further polish to the gameplay, it could get up over the 8 next year for Live 20 or whatever they go with it for the name.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem Live has when it comes to you know, critical review and whatnot is that it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like, it has prominent competition that is pretty much superior to it in you know, almost every way. But I think this kind of, like, that kind of score kind of is indicative of just how far it has come and how it's kind of, I guess, progressed up into the minds of, like, reviewers and whatnot. Because for it to get, like, almost an 8 out of 10, it's out of 10, right?
It's not out of 100 or anything.
So for it to almost get an 8 out of 10 by, you know, a site like IGN, which has, you know, in the past been pretty harsh on it, is, you know, quite a good sign for the future.
Definitely. And I'm trying to remember the score of Live 14. I think it was something like 5.4, 5.5, and had a screenshot of Kyrie Irving and the caption, "Sorry you have to be on the cover of this game, Kyrie." And, you know, like, really just kind of like, you know, I remember thinking, you know, and I also later found out they invited that reviewer to the studio and he was all, you know, smiles and pleases and thank yous at the time and then turned around and bashed the game in the review. So, which is, I mean, again, Live 14 is certainly deserved criticism, don't get me wrong, but it was kind of, you know, I did feel that was kind of a, you know, indicative of how they were treating the game at the time. And it's like, well, I think it caters to that toxic part of the fan base that just wants to bash rather than critique. And yeah.
And that reviewer's name was Kevin Durant.
one of his many monikers. But 7.9, you know, it's very respectable. I think a couple of years ago they gave 2K16 or 15 a 7.8. So it's kind of on par with one of the lower scores they've given a 2K game in the last, of this generation, so over the last few years. So I think it's a promising sign, and in many ways Live is on the right track. So I do hope it continues.
It is. And was it 15 or 16 that you said it was either one of the two? I think
it might have been 15, because it was the online issues, they ranked it a 7.8, possibly. Okay.
So the fact that it's kind of comparable with, you know, a game like 15, which already has, like, a deeper franchise mode than, you know, even NBA Live 19 at this point, it's kind of a good sign that it's getting a comparable score to that, even though the game modes aren't necessarily as deep. So
absolutely. I think, yes, I just checked, it was 2K15, which of course was the game that brought us the tremendous acting of DeMarcus Cousins, among others. So I don't think they actually ranked any, I don't think they rated on the acting skills. It might have been a bit lower for that, but
maybe, no, just a little bit lower.
I think it was the online issues with 2K15 that they dropped that score. But again, so it's in the realm of the lowest rated 2K of this generation. So it's definitely a step in the right direction for Live. And hopefully with these post-release patches, because they have pushed through a couple in the last couple of days, actually, I am hearing that the latest one has nerfed layups a bit too much.
Okay, that's a bit problematic for me, since I pretty much rely on layups as a point guard. That's,
I haven't played since the patch came out, so I will, we'll have to give our impressions next week, I suppose, but I have heard from some of the guys in the forum that it's kind of like last year with Live 18, where the CPU makes layups but you can't on the higher difficulty levels. So they might need to do some more adjustments there, because I think they might have gone a bit overboard with that nerf. But that's what I'm hearing. I haven't actually played the game today, so that's just from what I've seen in our forum.
What about I haven't read the patch notes yet, but have they added any more commentary? with this latest patch?
104 added commentary, like 17,000. Sorry, okay. 1,700 lines. Sorry, 1,700 lines.
Great, another 1,700 eye rollers from Jay Williams.
Oh, jeez, yeah, that's. I mentioned
that. we had to go into it at some point. Like, I think, you know, as great as NBA Live 19 has been, I think the commentary is kind of where they drop the ball.
Absolutely. It's. I said it in my Friday Five. It's like they've gone from the lead announce team for the NBA on ESPN to the Z team of announcers. Because, I'm not a fan of Jay Williams' commentary and takes in real life. I think he is one of the worst analysts in basketball. And yes, he played in the NBA. I didn't. Who cares? His takes are terrible. His rationale is awful. Other analysts look at him like he's got something growing out of his head. And certainly his head does seem to swell up whenever he talks about it. But yeah, I mean, obviously they've got those guys because it's easy to bring them into the studio to do the new dynamic commentary. I don't think it's worth it though. I think it's just awful.
I think it's a well-intentioned idea and kind of an interesting concept that I could usually get behind. But I think practically speaking, the idea of downloading a patch for more Jay Williams commentary kind of offends me. I've already started hitting the mute button already because like some of the things he said, like there was this one point, right, where I think I got fouled in like the last 2 minutes or something like that. And he had like the hackneyed take of, oh, the ref should just let him play. I'm just like, shut up, dude. Like, you know, referees need to be consistent the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really bad take, I think. But that was just like, that was like the tipping point. There were plenty of other like things that I've just tried to block from my mind because like...
The minute he's talked about how players are more athletic and better today than ever, I'm like, nah. I mean, he says the same garbage in real life too. So, I mean, it's... If nothing else... The horrible commentary is accurate. It's realistic because that is like it's not like EA have fed him lines that have made him sound bad. No, that's Jay Williams, biggest bust in Bulls history. Congratulations, he is worse than Carl Ellerman.
Marcus Fizer.
Fizer. So well, you know what? At least Fizer got me Kevin Garnett in NBA Live 2004 with that awesome trade in my dynasty. So. I'll always appreciate Pfizer, Virtual Pfizer, for its ability to enhance my experience in the virtual hardware. So with that being said, that's basically our take on Live 19 for the moment, I think. We will have more thoughts as we move forward and check out this latest patch and whatnot. But, of course, there is the other game that is out, and, you know, quite a prominent game, actually. A very well-received and high-selling game, of NBA 2K, of course. NBA 2K19. This is your return to NBA 2K, Kenny, this year. I played last year. You've heard Ben and I complain about it. That's Arcane, of course. You've heard us complain about it for the last 12 months or so. You've skipped it. What do you think of the new motion system?
I don't know. Like I've actually found that the game feels pretty smooth. Going from NBA Live to 2K is... The two games definitely have two very different feels to them. And I think the 2K motion system, it is a little bit herky-jerky at times. And there are some definite issues with it. But thing like, you know, doing stuff like dribbling and all that, I found dribbling to be a lot easier in 2K19 than... like any of the previous games, because previously I would have like issues with doing dribble moves and accidentally taking a jump shot. Whereas in this game it hasn't necessarily been an issue. And I don't know whether that's much to do with the motion system, but yeah, I don't know. I know one of the big issues has been skating.
Yeah.
And definitely have noticed like,
that's what
moments
I was
like
at.
That.
Yeah, that's what I was driving at. Hoping for more improvement this year in that regard because it still has those weird situations where you're kind of gliding along the floor and then you snap into position and players start foot planting again. So there's these weird speed boosts and Yeah, the play movement is a little bit weird and like jerky, like you say. I mean, 2K does have some fantastic animations, but this motion system does kind of spoil them with the skating and snapping into place. It's I don't want to write it off. Like I said in the Friday Five, I mean, I've given Ignite more than a couple of chances with Live, so I don't want to write off this tech before. But so far, it doesn't. There's something about it that just doesn't feel right compared to even as recently as 2K17, and it really comes down to that skating and snapping. And I've seen some success in the forum with sliders changing it a little bit with the movement, but of course that's not possible in all modes because not all modes allow you to change the sliders. I thought it would be tightened up a little bit more this year, and I think they do need to do that moving forward because it is, as I said, it's surprisingly last gen for 2K, considering how 2K has really innovated technologically speaking this generation and just gone from strength to strength with play movement and simulation and AI and everything. It is really oddly last gen, the skating. Like it's almost, again, like middle of last decade that we have since we've seen this kind of skating in a game.
Yeah. I guess I have noticed a few moments here and there where I thought, oh, that's kind of a little bit awkward. But at the same time, I think my initial impressions of 2K19 have been overwhelmingly positive. So it hasn't really been enough to kind of put me off the game at this point.
That's fair. Well, one thing you're actually benefiting from a much better version of the shooting system they implemented last year, because last year, if you got a near-perfect release, they would call it good and then basically nerf it. It was a good release was a nerfed perfect release. So there's a lot of artificial misses last year. And, of course, the shot meter wasn't there on layups last year. They took that away, but yet the timing was still there. Yep. So this year's shooting feels a lot better across the board, whether you're putting up a layup and timing that or whether you're doing a jump shot. I think the shooting has really improved this year. Even I haven't really upgraded my player yet. Again, not being able to play online for as much the last week or so. I don't want to pay this year. I'm doing my best to do it with grinding. but even with that, once you get a good jump shot down, once you've upgraded a little bit with the pre-order VC and whatnot, you've got some decent ratings for my player. Certainly, if you've got an NBA player with higher ratings, it's much easier, naturally. But yeah, shooting just feels a lot better this year because it doesn't have that. I know what they were going for last year, but trying to make it so that it wasn't so cheesy. Because you remember in 2K17 when people were just getting green releases with the stick and just really shooting the lights out. But last year, you still had people finding the jump shot that had a big enough green window to actually nail the green time after time. And of course, with lag in online play, you just get good release after good release. And since good releases were actually worse than early or late releases because they were a nerfed perfect release. A perfect release is 100%. A good release drops it down to 5% chance, basically. So it was too big of a drop. They've tuned that this year. And they've also changed the controls by default to absolute, which I really like because it's more like live. And I've always liked that idea of controls being to the hand rather than the screen, that if you want to go to the left hand, it's always stick left, stick right, whatever, up or down for forward and back. I know there's a lot of people who like camera relative, but that just makes more sense to me, absolute, because it's constant wherever you are on the screen. So I'm glad they made that change. It's what a lot of people are saying is that this game is the game we should have got last year. And that's always a problematic thing to say, but it's kind of fair in this situation. This is, in some ways, 2K18.5, in some ways, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because it's fixed a lot of problems that we wanted to see fixed. So I'm happy about that. It is better than last year.
Well, that's good to know because, I think there are a lot of things I didn't really know about NBA 2K18 because it seemed like a lot of the news, as far as it's concerned, was around the microtransactions and
definitely.
I didn't really get a sense of outside of the whole blow by animations being really overpowered. I didn't really know how the rest of the game played.
Yep, and that's been fixed as well. That's a lot better this year. So
I don't know whether I didn't know whether like my impression of you know, my positive impressions of 2K19 were because I hadn't played it in 2 years and it just felt good to be back in the game, or whether, you know, it actually was a legitimate improvement on 2K18. But yeah, it's good to hear that it has kind of improved on that.
I think so. My biggest issue is, and it was kind of an issue at times in 2K18, but this year that I think they need to clean it up, is the teammate defensive AI, basically. there's still too many situations where AI teammates just stand aside. So, you know, you talk about your Matador defense. You know, they just really just stand aside and let it happen, or they're out of position, or the really bad one is pick and roll defense because they get sucked into the defender and they don't switch properly. The switching, and in my career, you're going to get a defensive breakdown whether you try and compensate for it or whether you just let it happen. It's not. It's something that needs to be fixed, because it's teammates are not rotating properly, they're not switching properly, they're getting sucked and stuck to the defender. So there are some legacy issues with that as well, getting stuck to players. But it does sometimes feel like you're playing 1-on-9, because you're saying, well, whose side are you on? You're just letting them waltz to the hoop for an easy layup or a dunk, you know. I know I've got to, you know. As I said in the Friday Five, it shouldn't be easy. It should be challenging. I don't mind if the game is, you know, making you do it, but if the challenge is coming from your teammates being absolutely clueless on defense, you know, it also goes against the whole idea of it being a sim game, so I do want to see them clean that.
I just thought that was a result of me playing as the Denver Nuggets. Like, I didn't know it was the entire game, but I have noticed some lazy AI defense and you know, kind of bad switching on pick and rolls, and or in some cases not at all. And that I'd one of my players that I'd be controlling would be switched over to like some. Oh no, wait, actually, a player I control, I would switch them to another player, but the arrow would still be pointing to the player that I guess they're supposed to be guarding.
Yeah.
But it hasn't like automatically corrected. It's like, okay, can't the game see that this player is closest to this other player? Can't they just like kind of switch that automatically? So like, yeah, there are a lot of issues, I suppose, with the AI defense in that kind of way.
And it does stand out in my career because, of course, you are locked. At least in 5v5 gameplay, you can switch rapidly. You can kind of, or you can play off if you want to play off ball against the CPU. You know, we don't condone or we don't encourage playing off ball against a player. You know, really. When you're playing,
I hate that.
Guard the other player when you're playing head to head. You know, come on now. But against the CPU in that situation, if you want to play off ball, fair enough, I think. And you can certainly switch around and try and compensate as best you can. But in play lock modes, the grading logic. It grades harsher now, and the grading logic is no better, so that's a problem. And the defensive assignments, yeah, that's been an issue for years, and it's no better this year, especially with the issue with the switching. So hopefully it can be patched, but the fact that it is still an issue after all these years doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence, to be honest. Like, that's probably going to be an issue this year that we're just going to deal with as best we can.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I did hear about 2K18 was that, you know, defense felt like it wasn't really existent, or that it didn't really matter. So, maybe that's kind of like a legacy issue that's coming across from that.
And the legacy issues are one of the most frustrating parts of 2K. It does feel like, for whether it's a case of focus or the technology not being able to do it, there has been some things that have been in the game for too long. But overall, you know, I would agree that I feel fairly positive about the game this year compared to last year. I think the other thing that really bothers me are the momentum-killing layups, where you're just coming on the break and it triggers that layup that just stops your momentum dead. You just come to a dead stop. And again, that's one of those things with the new motion system, I think, is still has to be ironed out, and I was hoping it would be ironed out this year. But you know, speaking of my career, What do we think of the story? I think it was actually pretty well done this year. You know, I have to give it up for the writing and the acting. It was actually, as critical as I've been, and Lord knows, we've been critical of the stories, especially me.
Yep.
Damn you, B-Fresh. Go away. Go away. She's in the game, by the way. She's a Reese's Puff's representative. That's
oh my god,
that's kind of a joke. I mean, the name shows up, Belinda Fresh. So at least she's not showing up in the My Court. I almost said One Court then, in the My Court. But no, I thought it was one of the better stories they've done so far.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. My thing with it was that I didn't necessarily relate to my character all that much because I found he was a little bit too entitled. Like, he kind of felt like he expected to be like a pro after like one posterizing dunk or something like that. And it was like, you know, if that were the case, then, you know, Jordan Crawford would still be in the league.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, aside from that, I thought the story was fine. I liked being in the G League. The G League offered a really kind of a really different challenge, I thought, because it wasn't really that easy. It was actually, I found the G League to be harder than the NBA, and it might be because of the lower ratings, but I wouldn't have called my player up to the NBA based on his performances in the G League.
That was, I did notice it getting really hard, and it could be because I didn't pay for the upgrades, and it might just be, compared to the NBA, so I'm wondering whether they are trying to force you to upgrade really early during the prelude rather than before you get to the NBA, because it did feel like, it could get harder. I have heard that the sliders, the internal sliders, do change as you go through the mode to make it harder, I would believe it, because I actually got to the NBA game at the end, and it actually came up in the pop-up and said Hall of Fame difficulty level, and I'm like, I'm not playing on Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So yeah, it said that for me too. That was something I did notice, and I didn't notice it before. I wondered whether that happened across the entire G League, but yeah, I remember I didn't get a single block in the G League, which is really weird because my player is 7'3", and I was just like, oh, you know, can't get a block in the G League. Maybe I've chosen the wrong archetype, but I think it was just the G League, honestly.
I think they have made it challenging, maybe again, to push that early upgrade. I'm not sure. And if you make it through to the NBA, because I had a terrible game playing with the Lakers. And it's funny because, again, you had the cutscene at the end like, oh, you did really well, AI. Like, no, I didn't. I do not belong in the NBA at all. You know, this does not line up with everything I did. So that was weird that it felt really hard. Maybe it is just the archetype I played with, the shot creating playmaker. So I'm not sure. But, you know, I thought it was a decent story. Well acted. I'd love to be able to skip the story entirely and just start in the NBA. I do like that, that once you play through it once, through on subsequent playthroughs, you can do that. You know, that's a pretty good compromise, I think, given the situation, and it's something that my career has needed for years. That you can, if you do want to create a second player, it's actually feasible now, sort of.
Yeah. One thing I do want to bring up, and it's probably a result of being able to skip the prelude, is that you know, that one game you do play as a Laker doesn't really count to your career statistics.
No.
And even further evidence of this is that one of the PlayStation trophies is actually winning Rookie of the Year in my career,
yep,
which you technically can't do if you've already played one game the previous season. So,
yeah,
you know, I think that's a little jarring to me. Like, it's almost like, you know, that's whole not a rookie on another level, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, that you actually have played, you have a one-year experience, and it actually shows up in your bio that you have one-year experience. And I thought that might just be 2K saying one-year experience, but yeah, I looked at another rookie in there and it said zero in my career. Okay. So, yeah, that is kind of weird, but of course, as you noted, it doesn't count towards your career statistics at all. It's basically just the story. And there's actually commentary during your first game talking about that game that you played last year, but then again, the game treats you as a rookie, so it's... Yeah, it is a little bit of a weird situation there that they've done that. It's like, oh, that game didn't count.
one thing I did notice in that game you play against the Spurs is that one of the commentary tracks was talking about Kawhi Leonard getting traded along with Danny Green. And I was like, Danny Green's still playing for the Spurs in this game.
I noticed that too. Yeah, it's that's kind of that was kind of awkward as well. So yeah, you know. Immersion breaking to a certain extent.
But, I was like, whoops.
I did enjoy seeing Jackson Ellis again. That was a pretty cool scene where he just sort of comes stomping out of the shadows and talking himself up. That was pretty funny, I thought.
Yeah, that was a good nod, I think. nice bit of lore, I suppose.
And this is your first time experiencing the joys of the neighborhood, and you're getting the good version of the neighborhood where it's just all a square. You don't have to walk up the dog's leg, turn up the L-shaped to get to the park. They've got the playground in the middle there. It's actually well designed this year. As much as I would just prefer to do it all in menus, it is a good approach to have it against centered like that.
Yeah, I think. Again, I have nothing to compare it to, but so far it seems fairly doesn't seem as cumbersome as the way it was described in 2K18. So, I guess the best way to describe it is fairly innocuous at this point, at least in comparison, anyway.
And VC earnings are fairly decent. You can, of course, negotiate a decent contract at the start of or if you skip the prelude, you get to go straight to that. But at the start of your NBA career, you get to negotiate that deal. Prices have kind of inflated a bit too much. Ben pointed out to us that there's a bullhorn there for 250,000 VC. If people want to waste their money on that and their virtual currency, fair enough. Skateboards are 60,000. So things like skateboards were earned for free, and bikes you could get for free as well. There in the neighborhood, so they've raised the VC, but they've also done that, so it's kind of like you're losing the swings you can in the roundabouts kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I did notice there was like that one kind of moment in the in the neighborhood where you go into get a haircut and they're like, oh, these are free now, the guy before, he's gone, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can kind of see what they're doing. They're kind of owning it a bit.
Yeah. But, no, I did like that scene. That was kind of funny that they did that. Although I can't get a face scan to work for 2K19 this year, so I've just given up.
Yeah. I just went to get my haircut just for the PSN trophy. Like, I was just like, yeah, my play's going to stay bald. But yeah, I'll just get it just for the trophy and go bald again.
I didn't know there was a trophy, so I just went and said, oh, I went and got the cutscene and then said, oh, nothing for me today, thanks, and walked out of there. So I'm guessing there's one for tattoos as well again this year.
One for tattoo, one for getting one of those boosts as well. So I just got like the lowest price boost possible and did it that way.
Have you got the gym rat, you got the workout badge where you do all the stations in the gym?
Yeah, and the one, the Spalding IQ equipment as well.
Yeah.
I've also played a game in the cages. That's another one.
I haven't played the cages yet. That does look like fun.
It was pretty fun. A little bit chaotic. I think an interesting novelty, but not something I think I'm going to really spend a whole lot of time in, because I think it just gets a bit frustrating. You could kind of take a shot near the trampoline or whatever it is, and it'll automatically make your player jump onto it. So you kind of, it seems animation heavy in that sense. So, cool idea. Not sure how much longevity it's going to have for me. I also had a go in the rec center as well. It was a fun game because I went into it lowest overall rating. So you could kind of tell the other players were freezing me out a little bit because I thought, 67 overall, 7-3 scrub, blah, blah, blah. But after I kind of set up a couple of my teammates, with good assists, weird being a 7-3 center, like playing the point guard, but I set them up on a few plays and they kind of started sharing the ball with me a bit more, which I thought was cool. And for a 67 overall player, I had 8 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists and 3 steals and 4 of 9 shooting, so I thought I did okay. I managed to get my stats up there, and for the lowest rated player in that game, I held my own, and I thought maybe online isn't going to be as bad. like as it usually is, at least with the walk-on modes, because at least in that I was able to compete.
And you bring up the online modes. We have talked about doing Pro-Am this year, but it seems that you need to have five this year to play, which is a bit of a design flaw. I guess they're trying to push it more like the league. I can see that point of view. But from a feasibility standpoint, you don't always have five people. Sometimes we only have three or four when we've played. You can't always get the five people together on a session. So the being able to have at least, you know, being able to run with at least three has been tremendous in previous games.
Yeah, and it's something that I don't know why they would go in that direction. It might be because of the whole competitive element of the game that's kind of arisen with the, you know, with the 2K League and whatnot. But, yeah, I just don't understand it, particularly with the 2K servers. You know, that's five different internet connections they have to deal with and a lot more that can kind of go wrong. So
absolutely.
I kind of thought that they would have stuck with, you know, the three minimum.
It's one of those things, again, I hope that they can change in a patch because, yeah, if nothing else, even if the server's running fine, everyone's internet's running fine, you know, sometimes you can't get all five people together, so which means you can't run with your squad. And, again, I suppose that they want to do it like the 2K League, but I think it's kind of short-sighted.
Yeah, it's very short-sighted, and I think it would be in their best interest to put a patch in to change that.
So we're looking at doing that. We're looking at My League Online, maybe the way to go, because that's really deep this year, and it's what we were looking to do a couple of years ago. Then we stuck with Pro-Am. As far as our single-player modes go, I mean, you're already into My League. I want to get into My League this year as well, because it's, again, what they've added this year is very impressive, and what they've tuned and everything, all the tuning sliders, the mentor system and everything. Again, I wouldn't have thought of this stuff. It's been hard to make suggestions for My League the last couple of years because it's so deep. It's like, well, what else can you really add? Especially once they got the rebranding and expansion and relocation everything in there.
Yeah, they just keep adding to it and making it such a, you know, robust, deep mode. And yeah, I've already used some of the new features. Like I've got a mentor system going. I'm getting Paul Millsap to mentor Michael Porter Jr. So, yeah, it's really cool and something that it brings your veterans back into the game. Like previously, you kind of signed them for more nostalgic reasons, sentimentality, and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Whereas now, you kind of have a reason to have them there, like a practical reason.
And it's that depth, it's that real idea of bringing in the veterans, like an Elton Brand starting with the 76ers a couple of years ago just to finish out his career, kind of just playing a few minutes here and there, but basically being that voice on the bench and in the locker room and at practice to mentor the young players. So it is a really great mechanic.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the more interesting mentor systems I've got going is I've got Isaiah Thomas mentoring Jamal Murray. So see how that works out.
See how that works out, yeah. He's gunning for a new contract. And that's see, kid, this is what you got to do. It's you want to get the big bucks. Sign the little contract and then get the big contract. I'm still deciding who I want to play with. I'm kind of tossing up between the Bulls and the 76ers. It's hard not to go with the Bulls, you know, being a Bulls fan, but 76ers are a pretty fun squad to play with at the moment.
Yeah. I think the Bulls have got, there's quite a few like little subplots within the Bulls that are kind of intriguing. Like, I know that how Jabari Parker goes this season is a really kind of intriguing plot that I can't wait to see unfold. And plus, they've got a whole youth movement there now.
Sure.
You could probably fire Hoiberg if you wanted to.
That's a given.
I know that's like probably the first thing Valor's kind of going to do as well. But
I was thinking, well, Valor might redo the whole off season and just not sign Jabari Parker. That might be because you can start in the off season, of course, these days, and redo the off season, which. Again, I've wanted that for years, so I'm really glad they introduced... Was it last year or 2K17 they introduced that? Because that was a really good feature.
It was 17 because it was the season that they signed Reg on Rondo. So I think that's maybe something that Leo did.
That's right, yeah. But
that entire season, like, where Rondo is my favorite player.
Playoff Rondo.
Yeah.
So I haven't looked into the MyGM story yet. I mean, I just prefer my league for the sandbox experience, the more traditional experience myself.
Yeah, I do too. And it's proving to be really fun at the moment. Yeah, I've played 12 games so far. So
I think I'll get into that now that I've got my, hopefully, internet issues somewhat sorted for the moment. Hasn't dropped out so far while we're recording this, so that's already a huge, huge improvement over what we've had recently.
Well, you should be able to play My League offline, shouldn't
that's
you?
That's true, you can play My League offline, yeah.
Yeah.
With my team, that is something you can't play offline, of course. We mentioned it before. Before we get that, there was one thing that I thought about with My League that I probably have to suggest to Leftos. While we have the rebranding options, having these little options about the jerseys and everything, I was thinking, you know, you mentioned that you like to have the retro months with your franchise games where you just will wear the jerseys. And of course, one thing they've done this year is added a lot more retro jerseys for every team. I think every team pretty much has the entire complement of jerseys from the time they entered the league till now, give or take a few special jerseys maybe, but certainly the primary jerseys and the main alternates, I think they have, which is great now with the all-time Thunder. You can switch between the Thunder and the Sonics jerseys, and they've got although I do love the 96 to 2001 Sonics jerseys, that they've got the jerseys before that, the one that a lot of people think of, the early Sean Kemp era jerseys. And so it's great to be able to wear that with the all-time Thunder and make them the all-time Sonics instead. and just basically every team's got this full complement of jerseys. I love to see it. But one thing I'd love to see in my league is the ability to reassign jerseys. So if you wanted to take, say, the Nuggets early or mid-90s jerseys and make them the primary jerseys so they would come up as the association icon of jerseys, etc., that you could switch designations and make them the default jerseys for the team in my league without having to rebrand and getting a bootleg version of it, I guess, but to actually take that artwork that's in the game and the jerseys that are in the game and reassign it. I'd love to have that in my league.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I guess being a Nuggets fan, you know, some of those retro logos aren't, I'm not a huge fan of them, but yeah, it'd be cool to be able to do that for, well, particularly the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of still a sore point for people that live in Seattle.
Yeah. But I don't think I've ever asked you on the air, do you like the rainbow jerseys, or are they kind of like a oddly nostalgic favorite for you, or is it...
They're so bad, it's good.
Right, okay, yeah.
Kind
right.
of thing for me. Fair. I recognize that they are horrible and gaudy, but I kind of love them for the same reason. So
it's weird because I'm not a fan of that design, but I did like the yellow design, the yellow and blue design based on it that they had as an alternate a few years back.
Yeah, I really like that alternate jersey as well. But yeah, the rainbow bar wasn't a huge fan of that, like, from an aesthetic standpoint, but from like a kind of kitsch daggy kind of standpoint, it's kind of cool.
It's unique. You got to give it that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do love what they've done with the retro jerseys. That was one of my top five positives in 2K19. Because I was doing the features on the retro teams for Friday Five retro teams I'd like to see. And for a couple of teams, I realized these jerseys aren't in the game. So I had to go into my league and download some community creations to get a screenshot for them. But I think all the jerseys that I had to do that for are actually now in the game. The old Vancouver Grizzlies jersey, the original ones, which I love. Again, and I can't. That's the one I can't defend. As far as being, that's a very sign of the times 90s jersey, that one. But I do love it. They've actually kind of brought that design back for their statement jersey this year, I believe, with the neckline, with the kind of the characters in the collar of the now Memphis Grizzlies, of course. But I do like what they've done with the jerseys in that, and of course they're all in my team as well. My team, of course, doesn't have to play online, as I said, and I've started it, but I just, this whole idea of having to unlock the auction house is bad enough. We had to do it last year as well. But now you've got to actually not just play, but win online games to do it. And this is the problem with online gaming, is that there's lag. There's people who've got using pay-to-win mechanics, of course, so you may be at a disadvantage if you don't pay-to-win. And you've got bad sports. I think that's just another really bad design choice to do that with the auction house.
Yeah, kind of a bizarre decision, I think. I don't know. Are they doing it to kind of safeguard the auction house from, like, people that, you know, put crazy prices on really crap cards, or
the,
like
the MT, the people selling MT and things like that? Yeah, I've heard that being suggested, and that does make sense. I think if nothing else, it gets people to check out the new modes, Unlimited and Triple Threat. But the problem is, again, that the beauty of having such a deep mode is that you can pick and choose what you want to play. So to make it an online mode to unlock that functionality, and basic functionality at that, I think that was a mistake. I disagree with that completely. And of course, they've still got contracts in there, and they've got all the useless shoe cards, which I know the X loves. It's like you get Justice Winslow, he gets he just gets shoes, basically. So
you just clicked to me why they locked the auction house, and can't stand it. It's because they want people to spend their MT on packs.
Mm.
Just clicked to me that's the reason why. Oh my god.
I guess so. Yeah. So why bother adding an auction block? Yeah. No, that is it. That's definitely it.
Yeah, because back in NBA 2K17, you're pretty much a fool if you're going to spend your MT on packs, because you could get like really decent players for around 1,000 MT. And it's just a shame that I guess they have to nerf that as well, even though it just doesn't make sense to me, because MT is not something that's done through microtransactions. It's something you actually earn. So yeah. I don't understand why they would limit the auction house in order for people to spend their MT on packs. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I suppose then you spend the MT and you get a decent pack, but you want more, so you buy some VC and buy packs.
Yeah, I suppose there's that as well.
Kind of, you use up that currency and like, well, if you want more packs right away, you can buy some VC, get them that way as well. Just saying.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So it could be that, but definitely, essentially gatekeeping of the auction house and basic functionality. I think that's obviously if it is by design, by this, you know, very plausible theory, then it's, you know, it's not a mistake per se, but I think it's as far as a design choice, I do believe it's a mistake to go down that road. But apart from that, I do like the depth of my team. I don't like the pack odds. The locker codes can. Have you been putting in any of the locker codes yet? I've been putting each one, and interestingly, getting better rewards on the PC version than PS4.
So I've seen the locker codes on like the My Team Twitter account and that kind of thing, but I haven't actually put any of them in because I guess I haven't really been interested in My Team so far.
Yeah.
I think, you know, part of that has to do with, I'm not going to go into it too much, but I have an issue that I need to resolve with 2K at the moment. So I think that's a big part of the reason why. And
that's been a fun journey.
Yeah, it has. And, as I said, I'm not going to mention too much because I want to wait until it's resolved and before I kind of, you know, fully tee off about it, but yep.
Suffice to say, it's a support issue that is taking a while to resolve.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the reason why I've put a pause on my team and, to maybe a lesser extent, my career as well,
mm-hmm.
And playing my league pretty much exclusively, so...
And that's not a bad way to go. I mean, the gameplay, as you say, is enjoyable this year, apart from some quirks there. My league is deep, so I mean, and this goes back to what we were saying about live, is 2K does have these deep options that if you don't like one mode, there is plenty to play. And that remains the big advantage. But for all the missteps that we've criticized 2K for, story-driven approach, pushing microtransactions, all that kind of stuff, with legitimate complaints and everything. If nothing else, we have My League, and that which is such a fantastic mode and the franchise mode we've always wanted. So there is something to enjoy. Well, there's quite a few things to enjoy in 2K19, but if nothing else, we do have a really deep mode to sink our teeth into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to emphasize that a little bit more because, you know, it is such a great mode. And I think that at times it gets a bit overlooked in the whole hysteria around microtransactions. So, yeah, if that's something that you're not into, then I'd definitely say give My League a go.
And of course, you can play My League with player lock and basically emulate a career mode of sorts as well. I mean, that's your other option. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles of My Career, of course, but if you just want to have that player locked gameplay experience with a kind of pseudo career mode, you can do it that way.
Yeah, there's so many options in My League. Like, you can tailor the experience however you want it. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
So, it feels like it's going to be a pretty good year of basketball gaming with Live and 2K at this point. I've had some fun with both games so far. Again, not so much in the past week because I haven't been able to, for one reason or another, with the online stuff, get onto certain modes. But it's, I think we've got some pretty positive impressions, although we have our criticisms. Hopefully people will see it as a fair take. I think we've certainly been fair on both games and we'll continue to be fair as we move forward. But it's, I felt optimistic through the preview season and it's, yeah, I don't feel too let down, to be honest. I feel that it's hopefully going to be a fun year for both games.
Yeah, I think Live 19 has more or less met my expectations, and in a few ways, 2K19 has exceeded them. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting year all around, I think.
And it will remains to be seen what happens with post-release support as far as tweaks, and hopefully it doesn't get to the point where, I think it was 2K17, was it 2K17 we felt was getting changed too often with the patches?
Yeah, it was definitely 2K17.
And there were issues last year with 2K18 as well, to a lesser extent. And Live 18's with some of the layup issues, I think, on the higher difficulty levels. And this, as we've said, this issue that's been brought to our attention in the forum, possibly as a patch 105, we will check that out and talk about more about that next week. But, I mean, that's going to be the big thing, to see what kind of post-release content and tweaks and updates come through, because they can, as we've seen before, can really make or break a game.
Yeah, they definitely can. And I just hope that the tweaks aren't as regular as they were in 2K17, because it was overkill, I thought. And
yes, definitely.
I remember, while the NBA Live 19, this is about NBA Live, so total digression, but when NBA Live 19, the demo was out, I was getting a patch update for NBA Live 18, and I guess, you know, kind of apropos nothing, but I thought that was a bit strange. But
I checked into that, I think, because I had to update it in the wiki and everything. I updated our records because we're keeping. I think it was basically just a content records update, that one.
Okay.
It wasn't anything spectacular. Yeah, I saw that as well coming through. I'm like, why are we getting a Live 18 update this late in the year? But yeah, I think it was just something very basic to tide people over for the last couple of weeks. Some kind of content records update, I believe, anyway. But that's what that was, I think. But we'll see how that it turns out for this year's games. Hopefully good news. Hopefully they listen to the right feedback and not the people complaining about the wrong things and making the changes. I think that's been the big thing too. And maybe it's just important as a community to speak out on things we think are just fine and good the way they are.
Mm.
Because we complaints, I mean, we tend to complain when we have complaints, obviously, but we'll say something when we have a complaint. We won't say anything when we're happy. And the downside of that is that the complaints sound much louder. So even if it's a minority, a very small minority of people complaining about a certain issue can end up changing something that the rest of the people who are quite happy with the experience suddenly having problems with. So I think it's important that we do speak out on in the forum and on Twitter and on Reddit and all the other places that developers are looking for feedback and actually saying, you know, this this is problematic, but this is good. You know, please leave this as it is, or you know, this is what we'd prefer. You know, if we, there's no guarantee, but if we don't speak up, I suppose we only have ourselves to blame for not having letting our voices be heard.
Yes, and on that note, 2K, just keep the defense in there. It's great. I like playing defense.
Yes, absolutely. So those are our impressions, our initial impressions of NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19. We will have more to say about that in the weeks and months to come, without a doubt. But before we wrap up, there is a third game coming out. It is coming out on October 16th, which is actually my 34th birthday this year. So that will be a birthday present to me, I suppose. NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 has an official release date now. It was delayed. We had the announcement of it coming under the 2K umbrella, of course, still being developed by Saber. But it is coming out October 16th, and we have a new trailer, Kenny, which shows off, among other things, that Michael Jordan is in the game.
Yeah, that's a big thing for them. Like, I guess not even NBA Live, not NBA Live, NBA Jam back in the day had Michael Jordan, so...
Yeah, only the rare version of...
So for a game that's relatively new to the market like Playgrounds, that's a massive coup.
And obviously benefiting from the coming under the 2K umbrella is that things like that. And of course, Kobe's in the game and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a couple of players who were not licensed for Playgrounds last year or for that matter for NBA Live either for some years now. So, I mean, that's really cool to see. We have some news about the game itself, some details. It, of course, has single-player, local multiplayer, and online play. There's the Playgrounds Championship, which is the online worldwide ranked league, solo and co-op ladders. There's four-player online co-op. 300 players at launch, an additional 200 players coming after launch. The cover players, for what it's worth, are Julius Erving, Kevin Garnett, Karl Anthony Towns, and Jason Tatum. There's also the season mode, is the offline equivalent of the Playgrounds Championship. There's three-point shootouts. Over 100 signature animations, including Michael Jordan's free throw line dunk and George Gervin's finger roll. An expanded soundtrack, which is, that might not sound like a big thing, but considering last year's NBA Playgrounds just had the one song on repeat, that's actually probably, that is probably an improvement.
Very repetitive.
Yes. I don't think that's actually right up there with playing, and I mentioned this on the last podcast, NBA, Bart versus the Space Mutants, where the Simpsons theme loops for the entire first level, and that level takes about at least 10 to 15 minutes to complete. So you hear that? I love the Simpsons. I love the Simpsons theme, but not for 15 minutes at a time. So, yeah. Similar situation with Playgrounds last year. Yeah. So there's a new expanded soundtrack with Run the Jewels and DJ Premier Odyssey. I'm only actually familiar with Run the Jewels. Those are those three, but those are the ones that have been mentioned. This all sounds great, Kenny, but the real key for me for NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 is to improve on the gameplay last year, because it was okay, NBA Playgrounds, but not quite on the level of a Street or Jam from previous years.
Yeah, I think one of the things was that it got progressively better, so I think that is a good sign, but it still has a long way to go as far as being at that level. So I'm hoping with 2K's backing that they kind of have the resources to really put out a polished game. And but yeah, I guess we'll wait and see how the gameplay is.
And I'm looking forward to having a third game on the market. Well, I guess a fourth game. We do have Basketball Classics, naturally. But
that's true.
But having yet another arcade game on the market. And I'm still in favor of, you know, people say it's too soon, but obviously they're adding some cool stuff this year, and NBA Jam Tournament Edition came out the year after the original NBA Jam. We've mentioned the parallels with all the versions of Street Fighter, obviously, over the, back in the 90s. So as long as it does deliver on its modes and its gameplay, and if it continues to get updates as well, maybe for a couple of years, then it could be really good to have another arcade game on the market that's doing this job. Although, that being said, I would love to see a new NBA Jam, especially with it being the 25th anniversary, but... obviously not going to happen this year, but I would welcome EA throwing their hat into the ring with a new NBA Jam too.
Yeah, I think the more competition, the better, and particularly with these different types of games as well. Like, as much as I love the sim games, it is good to mix it up every now and then.
Yeah.
And yeah, competition can only be a good thing when it comes to basketball video games.
So do you think you'll be getting this one?
Probably. It was $29.99 US, so what's that in Australian dollars?
It's probably going to be at least 40, I'd say, with the markup.
That's not too bad. Yeah, I would chuck $40 at that game.
Especially if it's fully featured.
Yeah, definitely. Plus, yeah, it's cool to have an alternative to the two main ones, I suppose. So
definitely,
I'll give it a go.
And once again, I mean, I will be picking it up to do content and to obviously to play it and hopefully enjoy it myself. But that being said, if anybody does want to gift me a copy, it does come out on my birthday this year. I will not I will not turn it down. Otherwise, I will not be a cheapskate and I will spring the money myself. So that has brought us to the end of episode number 263 of the NLC podcast. Good to be back on the air, Kenny.
Yeah, it is great to be back on the air.
And we will have more discussion for you in the weeks to come as we continue to play Live 19, 2K19, probably a bit of NBA 2K Playgrounds too, a bit of basketball classics, Kenny. You've got to, got to support that one as well. There's actually some... I don't know what I can say, but I know they have mentioned it on the... I know Josh and Dave have mentioned it on the blog, but there is some NLC content coming in a future update for Basketball Classics, so we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, definitely. I have to give Basketball Classics a bit more of a go on Steam. I think the biggest barrier for me is that I just don't get it on Steam enough, so it's not that I don't want to play it, it's just, you know... I guess I'm just not on my computer enough.
So, you know, not repping the PC Master Race anymore. It's gotten the console.
No. Console Master Race. Console all the Master way. Race.
So, look out for that. I'm sure the guys will be shooting along some previews of that once that gets sorted. That's obviously very exciting. And of course, we'll be covering that along with 2K19, Live 19, and NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. Pretty much anything else that happens in the world of basketball video games, we'll talk about that as well. That has brought us to the end of the show. As I said, if you enjoyed it, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on the Stitcher app and other podcast catching apps, including Podcast Addict, or keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. We also invite you to connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC, Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. You can also get us on Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is it for now. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kenny.
And we're out like little racist edgelords who are rightfully banned from the playground.
So fuck Jay Williams.